Unfiltered opinion.
Sometimes you have ideas and you're not quite sure why.
You secure the bag.
Sometimes you meet people and realize there's probably a reason why you stayed in touch.
Just listen.
Sometimes all the pieces just come together by themselves.
Woo! I'm Jimmy Moyaha.
I'm Nicolette Mashile.
And I'm Simon Brown.
Welcome to Insider Exchange.
Welcome to another episode of Insider Exchange. We're grateful to keep having you come back to listen to the things we have to say. We start off with market matters, as we always do. And in this week's market matters, South African inflation numbers, the inflation print coming through better than expected. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at Jackson Hole, the symposium kicking off on Thursday. And we're going to look at what the expectations are around that. And then we're going to take a look at Shein. They've decided to sue Temu. We're joined in studio by our sponsors, Danny Mawas, CEO of Finalto South Africa, as well as Ruan Landsberg, market analyst at Finalto. Gentlemen, thank you as always for taking the time to come sit with us and talk about these things. Let's start with Shein. Why would you? Are you just jealous that your competitor's doing better than you? What's happening?
I think it's just as they had this monopoly in the cheap labor market where they were running all these products, and now they have competition, and now they're obviously getting mad for the third time in like 3 years. So I don't get it, to be honest.
I got a different view. It's marketing because we're talking about them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's true.
It's marketing for both, right?
Well, actually, they're probably colluding, right? I mean, I don't know. I read the article and I just like, you're claiming that they rip you off, but don't you rip off everybody? I mean, like...
Well, both of them are using the same suppliers.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's the same supplier.
And it's the same strategy.
It's the same strategy, which you order and then you produce. I mean, it's all the same. And it's getting through the loopholes because the same tax loophole we have in South Africa exists
in the US. But they're actually looking to stop it from what I was reading.
So, I mean, they're exactly the same and now they're suing each other. It's like, I don't know, that's weird.
Yeah, the third time now they're suing them.
I didn't even know it was the third time.
But both brands have been sued by, I don't know how many thousands of
Proper manufacturers.
They get forced they get sued for forced labor once again, because obviously they moved to Singapore now, but they still have the operations running in China.
And copyrights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now what's happening, obviously, is they using the same suppliers, and now it's getting to a collision because this supplier is giving you a cheaper product, the supplier is giving it to you somewhat more expensive, and that's obviously causing the whole thing to obviously unravel. And now the suppliers isn't working with this brand or not working with that brand.
Of course.
So how do you navigate this? I mean, you're going to sit in front of some federal judge in the US. You have to explain what's happening. And if it is collusion, then what? You settle out of court after a period of time?
But also, I don't understand why they're suing in the US. Neither is a US company.
The other thing.
From what I understand, their biggest market share is actually in the US.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And the easiest place to sue is in the US, because you can sue for anything in the US, apparently.
Apparently. I mean, I don't know. I mean, surely they do settle. Surely pistols at dawn, but at like just before Very dawn, much. You come to your senses.
No. Yeah. I've watched John Wick 4. It doesn't end that way. while we're in the US, Jackson Hole kicked off this week. Arguably one of the biggest Jackson Hole symposiums we've seen in recent times. But at the same time, the market seems oddly calm about it.
I think the market has been expecting it for a very long time. I mean, let's just say the market is expecting definitely some sort of rate cuts. Lots of policymakers have been making a lot of noise about it over the past 3-4 months already. So I think everything is already priced. And I think the most important thing that we need to look into is more like by how much. So if there is a rate cut, by how much they're going to be... Yeah. They're going to be reducing it. Is it like 50 basis points? Yeah. Is it 25? If it's 50, then okay, yeah, it's quite drastic. And then I think we would see like a reaction on the market. If it's 25, I'm not sure something's going to happen.
And I was looking back, the last rate increase from the Fed was 75. Mm. They want to come and give us a measly 25. Mm. But interesting, the topic this year is reassessing the effectiveness. Reassessing is an interesting point. Reassessing the effectiveness and transmission of monetary policy. Which, as I understand, and I'm not sure why I do, is that after the highest inflation in 40 years, I mean, we forget that the US got to 9%. I mean, the UK got to almost 11. Mm. Or did it get, I think, 11.1? that this has been sort of the first inflation since the 70s. And they're kind of like, well, did it work? And I got to say, I was thinking about it this morning. In fact, I was chatting with Martin Ackerman from Citadel. And it occurred to me, if we go back to, remember inflation was transitory? And then it wasn't. Mm. And then it was 9%.
Then it was sticky.
Yeah. And then suddenly it was 9%. I mean, so far, and let's touch lots of wood, kind of like they've worked it well. They've got it back down. There hasn't been absolute chaos. Unemployment in the US is only a little over 4%. I know big revisions this week and everything else. But, I mean, so far, so good. A ways to go, but so far, so good.
Yeah, I must say, I mean, everything...
It looks skeptical.
I don't know. We've seen this play out. Ruan, give me your thoughts and then I'll weigh
in. I just think in general, like, I mean, everything, with all the chaos that's been happening, it's weird that the market has actually been stable. I mean, we spoke on the previous podcast that dollar should be dropping, starting to slow down the upside momentum. Now it is dropping finally, but I mean, through all that chaos, it stayed stable.
That's easier to achieve when you are the dominant currency, when for the last 70 years you've dictated to global markets how things should be done, how things should be priced. Think about the entire monetary system as it stands, right? Everything is pegged, pinned, benchmarked, circulated around the US dollar. So if you are then to have that sort of center of the ecosystem that everything sort of orbits around, then you have to have that stable. You don't have the opportunity to have, or you can't afford to have that move around, right? And for me, that's kind of what I'm seeing with the US picture is the US has put themselves in the position where for years, decades, they've been able to dictate to the rest of the world what you can and can't do, what makes valuation sense, what doesn't. And that's why you have three companies on the S&P that have the same market cap as entire GDPs of countries, you know, because if your economy is the one that's supposed to do the best, then for as long as that is the case, everybody will ignore the fact that you have a $34 trillion debt level. I mean, we cry about a debt to equity ratio that's approaching debt to GDP that's approaching 70 or so, or even 80 odd percent. What is the US?
120. So then I was thinking, so what's different between now and the 70s? And then, of course, I realize OPEC and gold standard. So there were significant differences. And then I come back to your point around, and you didn't use the word, but I'll throw it out there, weaponization of the dollar.
Yes.
And what we've seen, and I've got to remember, Philip Short from Flagstaff gave me sent a chart out. The reduced buying of US dollar treasuries, which actually started by central bankers, started in 2018 and accelerated massively in 2022 when Russia invaded Ukraine. And it's not just that suddenly it's like, nice dollars you have there, Russia. Not anymore, you don't. It's like Russia comes to redeem their treasuries. What if the US government says, no.
Who's going to stop them? And that's been the thing.
I mean, who's going to stop them? No one.
That's been the thing. For years, that's been the conversation, is everybody takes their cue from the US, even with the interest rate and the inflation conversation. When Jay Powell stands up and he's taking the podium today as we record this episode. He's set to speak at Jackson Hole and the market is waiting to hear what he has to say.
Global market,
But it's different this time, right? Mm-hmm. Because the last time we had this conversation around the positioning of the US and we were in studio, we looked at the fact that China waged a trade war. They survived. Russia. The BRICS bloc is coming out with what seems to be, or what could potentially be, their own currency. Russia's going through exactly what you're saying, Danny. They're standing on their own two feet, right? So the world in 2024 is not the same world that was dominated by the US in 1924. And the question then becomes, from a Jackson Hole perspective, what does the next 10 years or the next 100 years look like for the US?
I think my personal opinion on that is, like, I think there is still like a long way to go before, let's say, the US is, you know, like, end up in a difficult situation, especially regarding their currency and the fact that, you know, they are definitely using their dollar denominated metrics as a weapon. But what's definitely certain is that, you know, the use of cryptocurrency is actually accelerating all of these shifts and how can I say instabilities on the markets and so on and so forth. I mean, we mentioned Russia. Remember when, you know, the EU, the Americans started imposing all of these tariffs on them and so on and so forth. All of these policymakers were saying Russia is going to struggle. They put themselves into a bad spot and so on and so forth. But the reality is that, like you said, they survive and they're still here and trading, no problem. And most of the, I mean, one of the reasons why they're still trading and still standing up on their two feet is simply because they are using, for instance, USDT to settle their trades. Yeah. They are using some sort of, digital assets or some other currencies in order to settle, whatever they need to purchase for, you know, the well functioning of the country. So what I'm trying to say is that everything is like how can I put it? The use of other than dollar denominated assets is definitely accelerating, and people are looking for other kind of currencies in order to settle their trades. Whereas 20, 30, 40 years ago, everything was in dollars. Yeah. You know, and I think this era is soon to be over.
I take your point. I think it is coming to an end. And the death of the US has been promised many, many times. I think there is a, if you look back over history, the other big empires, you know, the Romans, the Greeks, the English back in the 1800s, you know, the sun never set on their empire. Yeah. The difference the US has from those is that they have the global currency. And that's Bretton Woods. And weirdly, if you go back to Bretton Woods, the debate was, should the super currency be sterling or dollar? Or should it be a sort of mergey type currency? And the decision was taken that it would be sort of like both. And then the English delegation went to bed early and literally they crossed out sterling and it was dollar. it looked that close to not giving them that power, but it comes from Bretton Woods and it has given them a level of economic power, which then translates to political and military and everything else that is unheralded in this planet. And one day it'll end, if only because one day our sun goes out. I mean, they're calling the death of the dollar and the end of the US. I mean, I remember this debate in 20 years ago, the euro, like, the dollar's dead. Oh, we're going to trade oil in renminbis and stuff. And to your point, it's happening. It's happening more than it did a year ago, a decade ago, 20 years ago. But man, stuff is still settled in dollar.
Of course. Stuff is still settled in dollar. And if you have any doubts around what's happening in the crypto space and you're thinking maybe crypto's the way to go, interesting stat. The Rothschilds family owns 8% of Ripple. We move on to South Africa. We move on to South African markets because we're looking at CPI and other things. South African CPI print came through this week as well. Our Fed governor, or our version of the Fed governor, Malume Lesetshaganyago, has been adamant that he wants a 4.5% midpoint for inflation. We're not going to deviate from that. The market's been sitting at 5.1% for the longest time. Wednesday came in at 4.6%, and now we want rate cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 4.6, I think that's something we haven't seen
for three years.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like things are definitely improving. But if you go, if you check the numbers, and I mean, if you start crunching the numbers and you go a little bit more on the granular level, you're going to see that we're still struggling. Like, if you look at like food inflation rate, your cereal and bread is still quite, it's still going up actually. If you look at your, for instance, tariff on electricity and so on and so forth, it's skyrocketing. So, I mean, I think there are still like a long way to go before we can say, okay, yeah, we got the situation.
I think sometimes I would just like to know like where they get these prices.
I have interviewed StatsSA. So it was only about 2 years ago that they took CDs.
Okay.
You know what CDs are?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They took CDs off the inflation basket and put streaming services in. So, I mean, let's be clear, your inflation is, our individual inflation is never there, but it's a good number. And the argument's always been that IMPC can't cut ahead of the Fed. Although I see Namibia last week was like, oh, hell to the leather, and they just cut, like, can't wait anymore. And Namibia's never cut ahead of us before, or raised for that matter. But if we're getting a cut on the 18th of September from the Fed, and if the question is just how big, surely we get a cut the day after.
Yeah.
No. I'd be shocked if we don't, if I'm honest.
I would be too.
I think if we don't see even just a 25 basis point cut, the economy is going to be in a lot more trouble than what we think. Because even the US that's had their inflation pegged at 2% for the longest time still hasn't gotten down to 2%. Yeah. And it's something you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Simon. You start braking before you hit the stop.
Yeah.
You don't brake when you're at the intersection.
But that's also our good governor who wants to have the debate around what. So he never says 3 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says 4.5. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And he wants that debate of shouldn't it be 3?
Mm.
And I think that's why he's braking late. Because why else? To the point. Okay, so, I mean, could we have cut before the US? I think we could have. Just 25 points. It really would be fine. It really would have been fine.
We started hiking before the US.
Correct. If we had done it in July at 25 points, and then the US in September and us again, all would be fine. But I think he's breaking late because I think he wants to, you know, inflation is so much about expectation. And if he can get us down into the threes and start to cement that expectation, we can start as a country having that debate, which I think we should have already started many years ago around, well, why 4.5? Because let's be clear, I went and did the research a couple of years ago on, so how were inflation targets set? And I expected these dense academic papers and things I wouldn't understand. I'd get the professor to help me. No, man, like New Zealand, but like we need a number. It can't be 3. 1 seems low. Okay, it's 2. Like, that's it. And then New Zealand went 2, so Canada went 2, so Europe went 2, so America went 2, and everyone's like, it's 2. Academia? Yeah, nothing.
There's no science behind inflation numbers. That's what we're taking from that conversation. But that's Market Matters for this week. Thank you once again to Ruan and to Danny for joining us. We love having you guys in studio with us. Until the next one.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.